Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
I have moved to a total frog, with a vast tongue of dog, having spoke and blind things to the same
of knowledge. This is Lexi, your hostess. You haven't seen much of me lately. Of course, we had Thanksgiving, which is a normal holiday. And just one brief second while I cough my lungs out. Yes, that is actually the reason why you haven't heard from me is because I have been ill. Fall allergies. But today, helping me through that is my guest. We know her. We love her. She's here often enough to make her pretty much credit-worthy on the actual credits if we had them.
Oh, that's nice.
And here we have Kathy Kane.
Would you like me to hi there. Would you like me to send you some Reiki while we're having this lovely show?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Just a moment. Okay. All right. For those of you who are listening in on the podcast or watching it online or whatever, just to let you know, I'm also a Reiki master, and since Lexi's one of my friends, I am sending her something called Reiki, which is Japanese energy that helps your body to heal itself. You can do it long distance if you've got a certain level of skill and experience in it. So that's what I'm doing, and hopefully that'll help her body to get back together. Too much?
No, I'm seeing something very odd.
Oh.
Yeah, some people are saying that.
Some people are what?
Some people are saying that my show hasn't started yet. Weird.
That is an odd thing.
Yeah, let's see. Maybe they forgot to hit the button. Okay, well, if there's anybody out there who can actually tell me whether or not the show is actually airing, we're all here at Live Paranormal. Looks like everybody has left the room to refresh and see what happens.
Technology. Gotta love it.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Kathy. Continue on.
Okay, Reiki is Japanese energy work. If you have passed a certain level of the training, you can send energy, you can send it across the room or around the world, if you prefer, and it helps the body. It supports the body in healing itself and being stronger and healthy. Reiki's good stuff. Reiki helps me a lot to do what I need to do, keep me up and boogieing, as it were. So I decided to take the classes so I could do Reiki myself and for people that I care about, and also do it professionally.
Yes, and I believe at some point in time I'm probably going to finish up my Reiki classes with you.
Hey, you know where I live.
Yes, I do.
So any word whether the sound waves are getting through?
I don't know, checking. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
They say no.
No? Well, that's interesting.
The link?
Wouldn't
I'm testing,
nice?
Say, Mike, click, did you
Would,
click the link?
Wouldn't it be nice if the technology was working the way it should and everyone who wanted to hear the show could hear the show? Wouldn't that be nice? That would be a lovely thing.
That would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be nice if it would do it in a very timely manner so that everybody does left out.
It would be wonderful wouldn't it be nice if the technology that makes the show go out to everyone who wants to hear it, if that technology kicked in right now so that we could all be together and have a good time on your show tonight. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Aha.
So how's it doing?
Apparently, the issue might possibly be only dealings with because Brenda just put up the blog talk link for the show, so she hears me now. So we are running.
Okay, that's excellent. Good to
Yay.
Hear it. Yay!
And I'd like to thank everybody for staying with us, and I'd like to thank the powers that be for allowing us to broadcast this.
That's a beautiful thing. It's nice when technology works the way you expect it to.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. So, good evening. Hi, I'm Kathy Kane, and I'm here. We're talking about manifestation tonight, eh?
Yes, we are. And for all of those who... Actually, there's all about... just a few people here in the live paranormal that didn't catch up with us, but I'm sure that we have our blog talk listeners that are all up to speed.
Ah.
Yay. All right, so how... And I understand that you had a really good Thanksgiving, and I understand Star Wolf actually cooked.
Star Wolf is a delight. My husband has made it his mission. As my parents have gotten older, he has made it his mission to take over the cooking of the Thanksgiving dinner for my family every year, and the Christmas dinner as well, and the Easter dinner, because it's something that takes the weight off of my mother. And my mother's in a situation where it's good for her to be able to rest more. And that's so that's a beautiful thing. So given the number of food allergies and other food restrictions we have in our family, that is no small task.
Well, that.
So he did a marvelous job, and we're still eating leftovers, which is groovy. So we're back to manifestation, eh? Wanted to let you know, since last time I was on your show, I've brought out a new book. And it's the book I've been talking about for all this year on manifestation. It's called Manifesting Something Better.
Yay.
Yay, indeed. Easy, quick, and fun ways to manifest the life of your dreams. And that's available on lulu.com for folks who like this sort of thing. A lot of the stuff I'm talking about is stuff that's in the book. And if you find you like some of the things that we talk about and you want more, that's where you can find it. That and my blog. Which is our blog for Foresight is foresight.wordpress.com. And you'll find a lot of articles there about manifestation and clearing negative energy and making your energy more attractive to the stuff you want and that sort of thing. And that's free. The book is for sale, but the blog is free and easy, as it were. Ooh, my goodness. Oh, not a problem. I've been there. Bought the T-shirt. Set it on fire. So anyway, I'm tickled. I originally was going to be writing a book. I was going to be writing a book about everything I know about manifestation. And I quickly discovered, as I started that earlier this year, that that would become like an 800-page doorstop. So the book I wrote this year has been about what I think of as the little manifestation techniques. These are the ones that are less powerful, but they're cool because, one, they're usually quick and easy to learn. Two, they're usually quick and easy to do. Three, they're usually fun. And four, they're less likely to trigger what I call resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people do manifestation work. They do different manifestation techniques. They do law of attraction stuff, or they do wishing on a star, or they do spells to bring money into their lives, all those different things that to manifest a different life than the life you've got right now. And they don't work immediately. And people immediately buy into the other, oh, it doesn't really work. It's not real. You know, just pretend. But a lot of times what's happening is we get what's called resistance, okay? And resistance is built up of all kinds of beliefs, conscious and unconscious, that you hold in your head, okay? We have things that we believe because family and friends have taught us these things, and sometimes they teach us these things because they're not nice people and they're teaching us bad things. And sometimes they teach us these things because they're nice people and they mean really well and they're trying to protect us from things like disappointment. So they teach us things to try that they think will keep us safe, but they also keep us from being able to manifest better things for ourselves. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Basically, so you get these things, you get these ideas in your head. Things like, and sometimes we teach, we have experiences and we take away the wrong lesson from those experiences too. So like you have a bad relationship breakup, and what you take away from that is all men are pigs, or you have a run-in with somebody who's got more money than sense and they treat you badly, and so you take away from that. Money is the root of all evil, or all money people are people with money are nasty people, and so who the heck would want to be one of them, you know?
Right.
And so we have all these beliefs dripping around in our head, conscious or unconscious, and those beliefs affect our energy, okay? And that's important because all of us are made up of energy. We're all even things that look solid are actually made up of energy. We're all made little particles. When we get down to the atomic level, we're all little particles that are held together by large fields of magnetic energy. And whatever energy is in your energy field tends to attract stuff that is like it, okay?
Right.
So the more positive your energy field is, the more positive things you tend to attract, okay? And the more negative your energy field is, the more negative things you tend to attract. And where does that energy come from? The kind of energy we have is set by our emotions, okay? How we feel about things. And where does that come from? It's set by our beliefs and the thoughts we have and what we focus those thoughts on. So if we're all the time looking to find fault and look at what's wrong with our lives, our energy drops down, becomes more negative, and we attract more crap because, among other things, it supports the beliefs we already have. If, on the other hand, we're focusing on what's good in our life, regardless of how much good or bad there is, our energy level goes up, and we tend to attract more good stuff. Okay? And by good stuff and bad stuff, by good stuff I mean stuff that you want, and by bad stuff I mean stuff that you don't want. Because what's good or bad is not necessarily the same for every single person.
Right.
So a lot of times we set up resistance for ourselves, okay? So we start to do the manifestation work. We start to do the wouldn't it be nice technique, or we start to wish upon a star, or we start to do the act as if technique, something of that sort. And the energy start, we move our energy in the right direction, into a more positive direction, and we start to attract good stuff in. And then those little beliefs pop up their heads and start sabotaging that. I think of resistance as, I like to think of it as kind of like the dragons of resistance. So you think, you start working on manifesting a thinner body. Maybe you want to lose 20 pounds and have a little more energy and a little less pot, as it were. You start
by
thinking.
Pot, we mean pot belly.
Pot belly, yes. As opposed to something else, which I'm not even going to go there. Whether you want to manifest that or not, that's your business, and I'm not going there. So basically, you start thinking, doing things like affirmations. You think, I am strong, I lose weight easily, and things like that. And if your beliefs are okay with that, groovy, no resistance. But too many of us have beliefs that will start saying, oh, no, weight is it's hard to lose weight. Or if you lose weight, then all kinds of people will be hitting on you, and that's not safe. Or people will only like you for your body. They won't like you for who you really are, or something like that. And when you've got that resistance fighting against the manifestation work, a lot of times it'll cancel it out. Or sometimes it even makes it worse. So what you want to do is you want to do things that will bring your energy to a more positive place, and you want to do things that will decrease resistance or not trigger resistance. Sometimes you can change those beliefs. Sometimes you just kind of have to tiptoe around them and not wake them up. Is that making sense so far?
Yeah. Pretty much what you're trying to say is just trying not to trigger them.
Exactly. It's kind of like, okay, I'm definitely, besides being metaphysically active, I'm definitely a gaming geek. So I think a lot of times in Dungeons and Dragons type terms. And when you get your sword and sorcery type novel, if the hero wants to get something out of the dragon's horde, if he goes marching in there with his horns all blazing and shouting and waving his sword, the dragon's going to wake up and flambé him. But if he goes in quietly and tiptoes and doesn't make a big deal about it, the dragon of resistance may not wake up at all. Or if it does, it may open one eye, see him, and say, oh, that's not a real big threat, and go back to sleep. So that's what the little manifestation techniques are good at. They're good at not waking up the dragon or looking so insignificant the dragon doesn't bother to fight. And that's a way where a little manifestation technique can actually work faster sometimes than a big manifestation technique can. All right?
Okay.
So with resistance, some of the best ways of waking it up, of keeping from waking it up, are using techniques that are not like a head-on conflict type of thing. I was talking about affirmations there, and you know, the classic affirmation, I am strong and powerful, and that sort of thing. If you have resistance to that, a lot of times you'll get this little voice in your head that will say, oh, no, you're not. That's stupid. Who are you to think that that's going to work? So what you need to do, if you're starting to get that kind of resistance, if you find that you are doing a technique and you can feel yourself fighting against yourself, then a lot of times what you need to do is you need to back off and do something that's a little gentler, that's a little less in your belief's faces, that doesn't fight with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just slide right on by. So a lot of times what I find, if I prepare my energy first, if I do things to make my energy better, that helps enough to make it easier to manifest things. One of the techniques I like for that is called what if things got better. A lot of people play the what if game. What if this terrible thing happened? What if I ran out of money? What if I was thrown out into the street? What if my husband or wife left me? But a lot of times when people are playing what if, they're doing what if something bad and terrible happened. And by rehearsing the terrible things, they're dropping their energy into the negative standpoints, and they're making themselves more likely to attract negative stuff. They may not attract the exact what if that they're talking about, but a lot of times they at least attract something negative because their energy is negative, or their energy is more negative. One technique that's really good for moving your energy into a more positive thing is try playing what if things got better. So as opposed to when you find yourself thinking, well, what if the person I'm in a relationship with ran out on me? Working from the standpoint of what if this person committed to me and stayed with me? When you're talking finances, as opposed to what if I don't have enough money at the end of the month to pay all my bills? What if I always have the what if I have the money I need to pay those bills? And even when you just say them, when you say the negative stuff, you'll find yourself feeling heavier and more depressed and more exhausted, and that's your energy going down, going that downward spiral. When you say one of the positive statements, on the other hand, you can feel that energy lifting up lighter. Now, sometimes you have to watch how big a statement you make all at once. For example, I say, when I'm talking about what if I money for the bills, if I say, what if I have enough money for the bills? What if that happened? Wouldn't that be great? That's not as much of a stretch, and you probably won't trigger resistance. If you go immediately to, what if I won the lottery and won $1,000,000,000 and I was financially independent for the rest of my life? For some people, that'll be very energizing and positive, and it'll move their energy right up the pike. For other people, that'll be too much all at one step. And what happens then is they'll start to feel the resistance kick in. The funny thing about the what if up game, though, is even something that seems like too big a step, you can actually reach there by going in several steps. Not going immediately, what if I won $1,000,000,000? But start with saying, well, what if I did have enough money to pay all my bills at the end of the month? For that matter, what if I had enough money to pay my bills next month too? And start making statements that go upwards gradually. A lot of times you can still get to that massive big spot without ever triggering resistance if you take it in stages. And this is a great game, and I'm going to call it a game even though it's a serious technique, but it's more effective and it's better if you think of it as a game and you play it like it's fun. A lot of times...
Ha, 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 ha.
Exactly.
I know which one this we're talking about.
Basically, a lot of times the what if up game, it works even better if you can get yourself a partner, okay, to play it with. So Starwolf and I will do this sometimes in the car, and I'll start with what if this happened? What if something wonderful happened today? And wouldn't that be great? And he'll say, yeah, that would be great. What if, and he'll take it up another step. What if we found we had enough money to pay all the bills this month? Yeah, well, what if we had enough money to pay all the bills for the rest of the year? What if we had an unexpected windfall come in and we were able to go shopping as much as we wanted? What if we won the lottery? And going up by stages like that, especially when you've got somebody to play back and forth with on that, that one actually works pretty well to jump your energy up by stages without ever triggering those dragons of resistance.
Right.
Which is pretty darn interesting and useful. One of the things that means, sometimes we all have bad hair days. We all have days when it's like the world just kind of dumps everything on us. And everything seems to be going wrong, and we're depressed, and we're down, and we're feeling not very good. That happens to everybody sometimes. And for some of us, it happens more than others. And for some of us, it becomes a trend for a, 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 a period of time. And if you're stuck in the blues like that, it's hard to generate the negative energy for attracting positive stuff. But at that point, you can use something like this to kind of goose your energy and bring it upwards, at least temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you bring your energy upwards a little bit, you start attracting slightly better stuff. And even if you can attract slightly better stuff for a little while, that's going to help you feel a little bit better, which means you might be able to take another step upwards and attract even better stuff than that. Most of us don't manifest on an all-or-nothing type of standpoint. Most of us manifest on kind of a sine wave, and we can work our way upwards gradually if we're down in the dumps temporarily. Now, are we about to the point where you need to stop and
yeah, we're close enough where we can. We're going to pause for a station identification, and then we will be right back as soon as I find the station identification.
There you go. Put away safely.
And here we go.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hi, everyone. We are back. And
hey there.
Once again, this is Lexi, caller of knowledge, and we have with us Kathy Kane, and we're talking about manifestation.
When I was working on this book, one of the writing groups that I was working with at the time, brought up the point. They said, all this is great, but what happens if you're in a situation, you're constantly in a crisis situation? Maybe you're very sick, or maybe you're financially challenged, or maybe you've got chronic depression. Does that mean that all of this is impossible? And the answer is not at all. It's not impossible to attract good stuff even when your energy is down at the negative end of the scale. It's just a lot harder work.
Yeah.
So one of the best things we can do for that ourselves at that point is see what we can do to bring our energy up as far as we can do it, even if it's just a baby step. One of the big things about manifestation is that we are all of the time, we are always manifesting things. The way that works is our energy tends to call to things that are like it. Like calls to like. And if our energy is more positive, it will call to more positive things. And if our energy is more negative, it will call to more of the things that we're not necessarily going to want. So a lot of times people are saying, well, why would I want to do manifestation work? The truth of the matter is that you are doing manifestation work all the time. And the question at that point is, do you want to learn more about what you're doing and how you're doing it so you can attract more of the stuff you want as opposed to just have random drive-by attractions? I find that when I start getting dumps of crap in my life, it doesn't mean that I've caused it. Let's be really clear on it. It doesn't mean that, gosh, it's all my fault or anything like that. But it does mean that I need to pay attention and I may need to goose my own energy to start attracting stuff that I want as opposed to stuff that I don't want. Because if I don't do that, the kind of thing that I've been experiencing will continue. Is that making sense?
Yeah, there's an image there, goosing oneself.
There you go. I need to kind of like crank up the power and bring it back up into line with the kind of stuff that I want. And sometimes I let it go. And it's easy to let that happen. Sometimes it's beyond our control. Sometimes we may, quite a number of us have chronic depression or some other kind of emotional stuff going on, whether it's acute, temporary stuff or more permanent stuff, and whether it's due to our circumstances or whether it's due to our body chemistry. But at that point, you work with what you got. And something better is always possible. So one of the most basic things that you can do to bring your energy up is do what my mother called counting your blessings. Counting your blessings is kind of gratitude work. And all that means is looking around and paying more attention to the stuff that's going right in your world than to the stuff that isn't. Because where you put your attention, that's where your energy also tends to go.
Actually, you have a very cute exercise on that. I've seen you do it on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I've
been doing it every once in a while, so people get to see it on mine. But
well, I started to do it on Facebook, one, because I thought it was good for other people to, take a gander at, and a couple of people have taken it up and run with themselves. Yay. But two, it also makes it a good discipline for me, because I know it's a terrible thing, but I know the things that we do in front of people tend to have more power on us to continue and make a habit of than the things that we're doing inside, privately. A lot of times, if you're doing something privately, there's always that attitude, oh, I'm tired, it won't matter if I skip it tonight, and next thing you know, you haven't done it for 3 months. What I've been doing on Facebook, on my primary Facebook page, I count my blessings. Every night, I do it after midnight, and sometimes it's stuff that's from my day, and sometimes it's more stuff from the world. I document up 5 things that I am grateful for today. I can do more, but I thought 5 sounded like a good and fine number. And sometimes, indeed, there's quite a number of things that repeat. My husband shows up on there a lot because he is just such a good man. It can be things that have happened, like a friend who did something nice for you. It can be simple things like chocolate ice cream. It can be global things like indoor plumbing. Ever think about how grateful you are for indoor plumbing for a minute? Think of the alternative. but I put up 5 things every night because it makes me think about what is good, what is working, what is beautiful and a blessing in my life. And it focuses my energy there as opposed to perhaps on things that have not been so copacetic. And that's a beautiful thing. And I've lately developed the habit, I've added on to it, I post the 5 things I'm grateful for tonight, and then I put underneath it, I'm putting a good thing coming. And some of those are things that I anticipate coming that I am, in effect, being grateful for in advance. And some of them are things that I don't know are coming, but I'm setting an intention. And maybe I should talk about that. We've talked about setting an intention in the past. Setting an intention is just a fancy schmancy metaphysical way of saying setting a goal. But a lot of times the act of either saying it or writing it down, or for that matter both, is enough to shift energy enough to bring things into your life if you don't trigger enough resistance to counteract it. So in metaphysics, a direct command would be, money is coming into my life. And most of us hear that, we can feel that little tightness in our body, you know, a little tightness in the throat, tightness in the stomach, tightness in the back of the neck, that sort of thing. There's, oh, here comes the resistance. On the other hand, if you say, it is my intention that money is coming into my life tomorrow, by saying it is my intention, we soften the command slightly, but we still aim the energy and fire it in that direction. And by softening it, we are less likely to trigger resistance so that we don't have resistance to overcome. But by stating it, we still sent our energy in the direction of that particular objective. So with my five blessings that I'm grateful for every night, I'm adding on a good thing coming, in part because it aims my energy towards some kind of an intention for the following day or the following week or the following year, as the case may be.
So you could even do things like that when you're looking out for, say, a job. Knowing you're going to have an interview the next day, I intend to have an excellent interview for this job.
Yeah, you could. Or it is my intention that if this is a job that will be a good job for me, that I will be offered this job. Which is not a bad way to put it, because at that point, if it's a job that's going to be a bad match for you, you won't be offered it, and something better will come along. I'm in the middle of that right now, and I'm hoping for the best.
I know a few people that are in the middle of that, which is one of the reasons why I mentioned it.
Yeah. But you can set that intention. Indeed, setting an intention is another practice that I use for little manifestation work. And setting an intention, you can do at any time of the day. I find it's really good to do first thing in the morning when you get up. And you can do, it is my intention that, you can do a more general one. You can say, it is my intention that today will be a day of wonderful surprises. I've done that one. And the day I did that one, I went to Whole Foods and I was given a free truffle. They don't usually do that. And out of nowhere, the chocolate counter just said, I want you to try this. Good, it's chocolate. That's an unexpected surprise. And then the next place I went was to a bookstore where I found that they had a book by my favorite author that I hadn't even known existed. Yay.
Uh-huh.
And the next place after that I went, I came around the corner in the store, and there was someone that I really like who I haven't seen for years and I had lost track of, and there they were. And how did that happen? That happened just because I said before I got up in the morning, it is my intention that today will be a day of wonderful surprises.
And the thing is that these little surprises, I mean, people are saying, well, you know, that's kind of wasting energy. No, it's not, because these little surprises also help bring up your general positive energy to attract better things.
Exactly. A book by my favorite author, very happy, and my energy becomes higher and more attractive to more good stuff. Running into someone that I've been wondering about, once again, what a happy happenstance. And you talk about wasting energy. It's not like there's a finite amount of it about. The truth of the matter is there's more energy in the universe that any of us, or indeed all of us together, could all use at one particular moment. So why the heck not improve your life as long as you can do it in an ethical fashion? And a lot of the things with ethics, there's a lot of complicated ways of saying it, but what it pretty much boils down to, and I think I can say it for your show, is good ethics when it comes to manifestation boils down to don't screw other people.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. It means you can ask you can ask for a job that's right for you, and that's ethical. You can ask, if I'm right for this job, may I be the one who's given it? And that's ethical. You can ask, but if you try and manifest, I want to beat this other person out for this job. Then you're going around the gray area, and it may rebound on you. And most folks can see the difference when they think about it. So all you do is basically there could be a complex rules and guidelines to it, but the bottom line is don't do the dirty on somebody else. Don't intentionally set out to hurt someone else, and don't mess with people's free will. If you want to do manifestation for other people, you need to make sure that you have their permission to do so, because it's their lives. And a lot of people forget that. A lot of people think, oh, I know what's best for them, and I will do that for them. And that's a great way to have karma come back and give you a hard time. If you want to do manifestation for somebody else, you really need to ask their permission.
And even if it's something that they want, it be and you know that absolutely 100% that it's something that they want, mm-hmm. they may want to accomplish it on their own.
Exactly. Or they may have I've found there are a number of people who have what I call good and proper reasons for not healing from their illness, not getting the thing that they say that they want, all this kind of stuff. And for me, good and proper reasons is code for I do not approve of these reasons, but it is their life and not my life, so it is not my job to set the standards here, if that makes sense. Sometimes people stay sick because maybe the only time their family pays attention to them is when they're sick. And they don't consciously think, well, I'm going to stay sick then. But they get sick a lot because that's when they get attention. Or because they have been raised to be self-sacrificing, the only time they feel okay with taking care of themselves is when they're sick. So that kind of person will start to develop headaches and migraines or some other kind of illness because it's their body's way trying to get them to take care of themselves. So
that
you
I
always
completely
want,
understand.
Yeah, you always
being
want
a single
to ask,
mom of two.
I guess. And let me put it this way: there are plenty of illnesses that are totally random, and are just due to the fact that we're run down. When we're doing manifestation work and we hit one of these things where there's a blockage, usually it's either that we're triggering resistance or that there's a good and proper reason why the person's not ready to let go of the less than ideal state yet. So at that point, it's good to either block up, back up and try something a little more gentle or else stop and take a look and say, well, is there a reason why this person might be getting something out of this? And is there another way they can get that thing without them having to be sick or unemployed or miserable or whatever it is? But you always want to ask permission first. There are exceptions for the permission thing, though. The one thing with permission, it is okay for parents to act on behalf of their minor children. That becomes a little bit more iffy when they hit like the teenage years where they are still minors, but they have a certain amount of say in their own lives and that sort of thing. But for the little kids, yeah. And there's also an exception on this when the person is comatose and unconscious. If somebody is bleeding out, you are welcome to do manifestation or Reiki or other things without asking permission first, time enough after they're not critical. But other than that, the permission's really needed for the most part.
Absolutely. So, and not to mention, you're actually getting them, for them accepting your help, that actually helps with any other resistance that there might be.
Exactly. Plus, when you get permission, that empowers the person that you're helping, so you're not putting them into a position of victimhood, which means they're more like long term, they're more likely to be able to take control and take command of their own lives and start manifesting better things for themselves. Whether they're manifesting those things by using manifestation techniques like we're talking about, or they're just manifesting them because their affect is improving and they're working on their goals, as opposed to just kind of being overwhelmed and immobilized by the world. So another technique that's really good for manifesting better stuff, I talked about setting an intention. You know, you just get up in bed or whenever you want to do it. You can do it any time. But I like to do it first thing in the morning because it reminds me to do it. Another great thing, though, is something called previewing. I don't know if have I talked to you about this before?
I'm not sure.
Okay, previewing. For previewing, you think of your life as being like a movie or a TV show, okay? And it's broken into scenes, okay? So the morning routine is a scene, and driving from one place to another is a scene, and this meeting is a scene. And after a while, you kind of learn how to break it down into scenes, as it were. And what you do when you're previewing is you stop before you enter a new scene. So you're going into a meeting, dive into the bathroom first and get yourself some privacy, and picture how you would like the next scene to go. It's almost like you got a script there, you're writing the script for the next scene. So you're going to have a meeting. Close your eyes, not while you're driving, of course, and picture that meeting going really, really well. Everybody working together and getting things done that everybody's happy with, results that you really like, and everybody's content with those results as well. Everybody doing it efficiently and it's done in harmony, so you don't come out feeling, you know, 3 hours later feeling like you've been hit by a bus, that sort of thing. And so you preview, you don't have to do it minute by minute, but you just run a few quick scenes of how you'd like things to go. Picture it in your mind. And then open your eyes and go into that meeting and see how it changes from how those meetings were previously run. You can do this for just about any kind of experience in your life. Usually it's pretty darn good to preview the next scene just before you do it. But it is possible to preview in advance. So, for example, if you've got a day where you know you're going to be run all day, it is okay. It's workable to when you first wake up in the morning before you get up and start running around and dressing small children, to close your eyes and preview different scenes in your day. So see yourself having a great morning, getting the kids all together and getting them off to school and that sort of thing. See work going really well. See the afternoon, seeing something special happening that really makes you happy. See an evening where you feel energized and friends call and see yourself at the end of the day going, wow, that was a really good day, and I am so excited to see what tomorrow's going to be like. Take a few moments and just preview the different scenes in your life, and then watch how that changes things. Now, from one standpoint, it's a little hard to see how it changes things because you don't know exactly how it would have been if you hadn't done it. But I have tried this technique on multiple occasions, and I have found, for example, I used to work for the state. I have found that meetings that were supposed to, that in the past have traditionally been very, very angry and confrontational, all of a sudden I do one of these and the meeting goes smoothly and easily and everybody works together as opposed to fights. I've done these where a commute is easy and there's no traffic. I've done these where I accomplish all the things that I'm looking to do in a relatively short period of time. And it's surprising how useful and effective it can be just to preview things. To draw a parallel here, a lot of times this is one of the things that the real high-priced coaches are having people heavy-duty athletes and politicians do in order to succeed in their chosen fields. There's a story about, I can't remember the man's name, but he was a soldier and he was captured in the Korean War, and he was held prisoner for almost 4 years in a camp where he was in a little tiny cell, couldn't even really get up and move around that much. And so what he did while he was imprisoned is he lay on his bunk, and because he was a golfer, he was a professional golfer in his non-military life, he lay there in his bunk, and he mentally played every golf course he'd ever played. And when the war was over and he got out again, he found that his golf game had improved.
Wow.
Which is an interesting kind of phenomenon. So this is what they're doing with, for example, with professional athletes. They did some studies, and they did a deal where some of them did actually physically practice their sport, and some of them did nothing. And some of them were told to sit and not practice their sport, but mentally walk through practicing as if they were practicing their sport. So sit there and picture themselves doing a practice session. And they found the ones that did nothing, they were okay. The ones who practiced their sport were better than the ones who did nothing. But the ones who mentally practiced the sport were the ones who had the biggest improvement.
Wow.
To me, that's pretty mind-blowing. So it's all mind-body connection type of stuff. People tend to think about the mind-body connection being primarily about your attitude can affect your immune system, which is true. It does that too. But it can also have an effect on shaping the universe around you, which is even more phenomenal and kick-ass. The fact that just picturing something in your head can actually shape reality and alter reality, not only alter you, but alter the reality that's around you, is amazing to me. And the fact that we have techniques like this that we can do that make it so easy is also pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. We're reaching that time once again.
I'd like
to take some time to plug your new book. Woo-hoo. The holidays are coming, and what wouldn't be better than to give your loved one the power to make positive wishes and change their life?
Sounds good to me. Basically, Manifesting Something Better is available on lulu.com. You can catch it www.lulu.com. You can catch it. Look, my name is Catherine with a C. Kane, K-A-N-E. It will be coming out on Amazon and Barnes & Noble sooner or later, but it's not out there yet. So you want to get it, you either go there or you go to my website, which will take you there. My website is www.foresight, F-O-R-E-S-I-G-H-T, your, psychic, psychic.com. And if you're interested in the book, if you want to learn more about manifestation, go to the website, and on the front page on the left-hand side, there's a link to a page with all the different information on all my different books on there, and links from there to Lulu's, so you can go and pick them up if you want. If you want to monitor my blog, which is www.foresightyourct, which is for Connecticut, psychic.wordpress.com. Lulu regularly has sales, and when we have a sale on, I will announce it there. We just had a sale that ended Tuesday, which was for 30% off your order, which is pretty darn good. I know I ordered some books.
Oh yeah.
And when they throw a new sale, I always announce it on the blog, so you can sit there and watch for it. And if you want to get it for yourself, or you want to get it for someone for Christmas, that's a good way to do that and still save some money. And I think you should have the best, but not have to pay any more for it than you have to. Actually, I take it back. Manifesting Something Better, it is not. There is one copy of it for sale on Amazon. It's not been officially released by my producer yet there, but somebody is evidently taking a thing on that, and they're trying to charge $71 for it.
Oh, geez.
Which strikes me as overly optimistic on their part, although I admire their spunk. So I would say go to Lulu, pay the face price, which is $15.49, or better yet, watch my blog for when I announce the next sale, and then go in and use the code to get the sale on it, and save yourself some money while getting yourself some manifestation so you can manifest yourself some more money. Thank you very much.
Once again, thank you for being here. You've always been a treasured guest, and I thank you very much. I hope we have more of you to come.
Lovely. If you'd like to have me and Star Wolf back, I believe Star Wolf's coming back in December. And oh yeah, that's right. Star Wolf's coming back in December, on December 20th, and you guys
yes.
are going to be talking about the apocalypse. Woo!
Yes. We're having the Cauldron of Knowledge Apocalypse Party.
There you go. Should be a good time.
Yes.
Don't, spoiler alert, don't worry. It'll be okay. Plan for next year.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to Cauldron of Knowledge. And thank you for tolerating my illnesses. And I hope to see you all again next week. As I believe we're going to... Oh, and here's my little daughter. We're going to be discussing about the unhealthy thinking of not quite having what you want or what you expect you should have had, and so you're placing things as temporary and not living that moment up to your potential.
Ah, more counting your blessings seems involved.
Yes.
There you go. Take care.
All right, take care, and we'll see you again soon, Kathy, and
Radio?
I hope you have a happy holidays.
It is my intention. I hope your holidays are wonderful as well.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, and we're out of here. Peace, love, and cheesecake.